Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight on a midweek service? How many is believing that God heard the prayers for this family tonight? I'm believing. I'm going to take your attention to Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to be reading verse 21 through 34. While you're taking your time to get there, I just want to thank the Lord who's the head of my life. I want to thank him for the pastor and his wife. We truly have a man of God that cares about these people. This man was at my house at midnight one night trying to get me back on the beaten path. And I'll never forget that. I appreciate it, sir. Verse 21 reads, "And Isaac threatened the Lord, entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took a hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." I want to take a few moments to speak to you on this topic. Edom is the problem. Pastor, would you pray over the word? You may be seated. Edom is the problem. Rebekah in the scripture made this statement in a prayer. We've all said something similar. She said, "Why am I thus?" Meaning, why do I feel the way I feel? Why am I going through what I'm going through? And the Lord spoke to her and said, because in thy womb you have two nations. And it's as if they're wrestling. And he said, the younger will be stronger than the older. Meaning the firstborn will be the weakest. The secondborn will be the strongest. We've all probably heard this story before. Esau was born first. He was named because of his appearance. He was given the name Esau at birth because of his appearance. The name Esau means hairy. The Bible says he was red and hairy all over. But Esau's name was changed to Edom. And the word Edom means red. But his name wasn't changed due to his appearance, because it wasn't until after he sold his birthright that God changed his name to Edom. Reading through the chapter, it'd be easy to think that since he was born red, when his name was changed to Edom, it was still because of his appearance. But his name wasn't changed because of his appearance, but it was changed because of the choice that he made. He sold his birthright for a bowl of red pottage. I don't believe it was a coincidence that his name was changed to Edom, which means red, right after he sold his birthright for a bowl of red pottage. He was named after what he sold out for. His very name became what he chose over his promise. Edom represents the flesh. Edom represents the will of the flesh. Edom always stands in the way. Edom's what stands between you and God. Edom's a choice. See, Esau was born red, but his name didn't become Edom until he chose red. Come on, somebody, we're born into sin, but we don't have to choose sin. Just because my dad was an alcoholic don't mean I have to be an alcoholic. Just because my dad was a drug addict don't mean I have to be a drug addict. Edom is a choice. He sold his purpose, his destiny, his future for a now moment. How many's been there? I know I have. I'm going to get right with God, but right now I want to go to this party. I'm going to get right with God, but right now I want to talk however I want to talk. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get right with God, but right now I don't want my friends to stop hanging out with me. Come on, somebody, I've been there. But can I tell you tonight that at some point, it's going to be the last now moment you have. At some point in your life, time's going to run out. And your last moment will be for the spirit, or it'll be for the flesh. Can I tell you tonight, if you choose the flesh, there's a hell that's still hot. There's still weeping and gnashing of teeth. Come on, somebody, the temperature hasn't cooled off in hell. That lake of fire is as hot as it's ever been. We have to choose God today. We have to choose our promise. We can't choose the flesh. We can't choose Edom. Just because we're born into flesh doesn't mean we have to choose it. Edom will do his best to stand between you and God. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, came out of bondage, the first people they came across were the Edomites, descendants of Esau. They said, we want to pass through this land. But they said, we're not going to let you pass through here. We're not even going to give you a drink of water. You got to go around. You'll have to go around the land of Edom to get to the promised land. Come on, somebody, between you and your promise, between you and your calling, between you and your destiny, there will always be Edom. Edom always stands in the way. Edom's a never-ending battle. He's a never-dying enemy. He seems like he never goes away. Somebody say, Edom is a problem. When Nebuchadnezzar came against Israel, the Edomites joined Nebuchadnezzar because they always want to stop what God has planned for Israel. It's the same today. God has a plan for your life, and your flesh is trying to stop it. Come on, somebody. He's got a plan for your life. It's not an alcoholic addiction. It's not an addiction to pills. It's not addiction to some web page on the internet. That's not God's plan for your life. He never intended for you to be in bondage. He's got something greater for you. He can give you prosperity. He can give you increase. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in this house that believes he's got a plan for your life? You're not meant to be in bondage. He's got a plan for your life. Anybody in this place that's ever been addicted to anything, stand to your feet. It doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol, anything that you've ever been addicted to, and God delivered you from it. Stand to your feet. Look around you tonight. Don't tell me he can't do it. Can I tell you tonight that addiction's still holding on to you because you stopped believing he can break it? Depression still got you because you stopped believing you can be happy. Come on, somebody. Miracles aren't happening because people stopped believing that he's still a miracle worker. Cancers aren't drying up because people stopped believing that he can still heal cancer. Church attendance is down because people stopped believing that he's still bigger than COVID. Come on, somebody. We serve a God of no limitations. My Bible says, for with God, all things are possible. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your life. After the Edomites attacked Israel with Nebuchadnezzar, they were forced to join Jewish law. They became a nation known as Edomai. They were Edomites, Esau's descendants, being forced to live Jewish law. Antipater was an Edomian, and he had a son named Herod the Great. He was of Edomite stock. And when Jesus was born, Herod was threatened. He said, I'm going to kill every male child in the entire Bethlehem region. He didn't send the wise men just to find him. He was going to kill him because he was a descendant of the Edomites. Can I tell you, Edom always wants to stop what God has for your life. God's talking to somebody tonight. He's put a calling on your life, and Edom's trying to kill it. He called you to that prayer group. He called you to that ministry. But Edom's trying to tell you you don't belong in that group. You don't fit in with that ministry team. Because Edom knows if he can stop your ministry, he can stop your purpose. If he can stop you from praying, he can stop your conversation with God. If he can kill your calling, you'll choose to fulfill its lusts. You'll start to fall back into those old habits. You'll start to hang out with your old friends. Before you know it, you're right back where you started. Come on, somebody. What we battle with is not the devil. What we battle with is the firstborn nature of man. It's that sinful nature of man that we're born with. It's that person that brushed your teeth this morning, fixed your hair and put on your clothes. The person you see in the mirror, that's the problem. If you can overcome your flesh, you're going to see your promise. Come on, somebody. We give the devil too much credit. He's just a mouthpiece. He may send a few things your way. He may whisper a few things in your ear, but we have free will tonight. We decide whether we follow the flesh or we follow the spirit. It's the flesh that we fight against. Our first birth wants to stop our second birth from ever even happening. The first birth doesn't want you stepping into your calling. The first birth doesn't want you seeing your purpose. The story of Jacob, when he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph lined them up, the firstborn at the right hand, the secondborn at the left hand. The way he thought it should be, because the firstborn traditionally received the better blessing. But Jacob, when he went to bless them, he crossed his arms and he put his right hand on the secondborn. And Joseph said, whoa, 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 that's not right. You're doing it all wrong. And Jacob said, no, son, this is exactly how it's supposed to be done. Because it's not our first birth that gets the blessing, but it's the second birth. Come on, somebody. That's why he said we must be born again. Because the right hand goes on your second birth. It's the second birth that receives the blessing. It's the second birth that receives the promise. It's the second birth that receives the power. The flesh doesn't get the blessing. The blessing belongs to the Spirit. God knew our struggle was against our flesh. He knew our struggle was against ourselves. So he robed himself in flesh, took upon himself a body, and came down, and he conquered all flesh. Come on, somebody. Pilate didn't put him on that cross. Herod didn't put him on that cross. He chose the cross for everyone sitting here today. As he hung on the cross, it wasn't the devil that he nailed to the cross. It wasn't the spirit of fear that he nailed to the cross. But he used the devil when he entered into Judas to get himself to the cross so he could nail the devil's biggest weapon to the cross, and that's our flesh. But as he hung on that cross and that veil was rent from top to bottom. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 20 that the veil is the flesh. Can I tell you that when the veil ripped, he didn't only conquer the flesh, but he gave you and I the ability to conquer it too. Can we thank him for a torn veil tonight? Can we thank him for the cross tonight? Can we thank him for Calvary tonight? He's worthy. As the musicians come, Edom represents our flesh. It's the thing that always stands in the way. It's a never dying enemy. And it's a daily battle. As the musicians begin to play softly, I want to read one more scripture to you. It's Acts 26, 27 through 29. It says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul said, almost isn't enough. I got to be all together. I got to be complete. Most of you know, because most of you are family, and I believe I've shared the story before. But when I was 15 years old, me and my grandfather were in a car accident. The incident was really bad on him. It was to the point where the doctors said there's nothing else they can do. His blood pressure was dropping. His oxygen levels were extremely low. They said we may want to think about making funeral arrangements. But somebody stood up and said, let's pray. And as we began to pray, everything started to go back up. And the doctors came and they said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing whatever it is because it's working. And I want you to know that he walked out of that hospital and lived another 10 years after that. But I say that today to tell you that if we would have just almost prayed, my grandfather never would have walked out of that hospital. Can I tell you tonight that the biggest thing that Edom can do to you is keep you at almost. Come on, somebody. Stop almost coming to this altar and come to this altar. Stop almost getting out of your seat and get out of your seat. Stop almost giving your life to God and give it to God. Stop almost getting baptized and get baptized. Stop almost going to that prayer group and go to that prayer group. Stop almost getting your ministry back and get your ministry back. I tell you tonight that the road to hell is paved with people that said, I almost gave my life to God. Almost isn't enough.